Scalable systems and authentic belonging. Well, what does that have to do with church? Our guest, Dustin Dozier, author of the Amazon bestseller, The Connected Church, tells us. We're going to be discussing how to help your congregation take that next step in their lives. It's all coming up next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Yeah, thanks.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, and my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Now, Steve, the topic that we were on before our guest joined, and we're going to introduce our guest in a moment, but the topic that we were on for just a moment or so beforehand was my hair. I got a haircut, and you like it, right? Because it's shorter. It's not as short as yours. So until it's as short as yours, you won't be happy. But I did get a haircut, and you said it looks like your brother's haircut now, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like your brother's haircut?
I was like, wow, he's letting his hair grow out. It's kind of weird, you know, because you kind of we all went through that in the 70s, showing our age, right? And you too, letting the hair grow really long and part down the middle and have a feathered back. And that was the cool kids would do. And, that kind of, you know, time goes on.
Yeah.
But my brother's returning to it.
Yeah. So what you're saying is
he's a trendsetter. He's very stylish.
Well, there you go.
He is very well dressed and very stylish and very up on the trend. So he's
got to
be, yes, like you. So, yeah, so he's letting his hair grow long.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my hair was a lot long. I go back and forth. Anybody cares, and I'm sure nobody does, but I go back and forth. I've had my hair shorter. I've had it long. I've had it short. I've had it long. All right. So we're excited about today's guest. This is episode 510, by the way, as far as we know. I don't know. We should just make up numbers. Why don't we just start doing that? Next episode will be number 758 or something. But episode 510, our guest today is Dustin Dozier, and he's a teaching pastor at Upstate Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And he serves as the director of Next Steps across 10, count them, 10 campuses, reaching more than 6 people weekly. 6,000. I'm being funny here. 6,000 people. And he's the author of the number one best-selling book called The Connected Church and is widely recognized for his work in church growth, guest services, and multi-site strategy through the Connection Church. So Dustin equips churches to build scalable systems and strong leadership pipelines, and it helps people move from attendance to really an authentic type of belonging. And that's what I want to talk about today. So let's welcome Dustin Dozier to the Church Solutions Podcast. Dustin, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in Greenville on a Thursday, and just thankful for the invite. Great to join you and Steve and see how we can help, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you here today. And I'm going to start off with a question, and then Steve and I will go back and forth. But you've got something on your website that I found interesting, and I'll just read these stats, and then I want you to explain them to me and the audience here. 21% attend weekly. 61% are disengaged. 44% are in a small group. What are these stats, and why are these stats problematic, maybe?
Yeah, no, it's definitely being in ministry, being in the church world, you know, we've really kind of seen a shift. I would say probably over the last 20, 30 years where the church was kind of the center of the community. And so when you're battling culture and all the different things that are thrown our ways for entertainment's sake or busyness or even sports for the kids, what we're seeing is really a steady decline of church engagement. And so what that means is less people are attending more often. So you have a dip and decline in attendance. Really, a lot of research shows that 21% that really once a month of attending church is kind of the standard for now. It's vacation and travel ball and all those things. And so along with that, just people are disengaging from the church. It's no longer that that core piece of the community. There's other things that are competing for time and energy. And so, yeah, it's really impacting the church. The problem for a lot of churches is not really attendance. You're kind of seeing a steady dose of attendance. The problem is it's really connecting. That's where that disengagement. People are coming, but fewer people are really moving and getting involved. They just come for an hour, say, hey, that was great. I was inspired. Maybe even check it off a moral to-do list, and then they leave. So yeah, all of those stats are really impacting the church for sure.
So yeah, I would think that the disengaged one, I would think that that may even be lower, because a lot of people will come to church and that's what they want, right? They just want to come in, you know, spend my hour and go away.
Yeah, that's right.
What are, we're going to get into a lot of this, I think, but
yeah.
How do you solve that problem for people that just, you know, they want to go sit in the back, they want to sneak in late, sit in the back row, bail out early, don't have anybody bother them, nobody ask them to do anything. That's like the ideal church, right? So how do you convince or change that culture?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely an uphill battle. Like I said, there's competition for everything. Kind of what I write about in the book, and this is really my heart, is that we are the most connected people in the face of history, whether it is through social media or online. I feel like COVID ramped that up. Like everyone was meeting on Zoom and remotely, and we'll just watch it from our house. And those are all incredible tools. I love technology. I love the things that it does. It really helps expand the message of the gospel, and really you're able to, you know, spread all over the world in remote places. And so you can use it for ministry, but the relational side of things are still needed. And so how do you do that as a church is a great question. It's an uphill battle of what do you do? How do you engage those who are disconnected? Instead of really the mission of the church was never just to gather crowds, right? It's to make disciples. So how do we do that? So I always, in the churches I work with and the churches that I serve, is obviously you can't force someone to take next steps, but you can create one, a clear pathway as to what those next steps are. So some churches, they put all of their eggs in one basket of the worship service and that's it. There's no clarity. They just want people in the door. But I've just found you can get people in the door and great preaching and music and even the atmosphere can get people there, but it doesn't keep them there. And so we have to develop things to help them engage, clear steps of that might be an event as a front door of this event is for your life stage. We're going to do a parenting conference, or hey, we offer small groups, whatever that is. But then we have to capture that and really kind of help guide and have personal conversations to see the value of those things of, hey, you're running ragged and you need people in your life to build community. And that really show care. And I think deep down, because it's how we're made, we all want that sense of belonging. We might say, hey, I'm going to come to church. But deep down, you have people that say, I've been attending this church for X amount of time, and I just don't feel connected. And so it's our job as church leaders and as believers to help that. And so every church is a little bit different, but you have to be creative in helping them take those steps and not sit on the sidelines.
So the when you talk about next steps here, so I would think there'd be a lot involved in sizing and defining those next steps, right? Because you want something that's going to move them forward, but not scare them away. Your next steps not be come next Sunday because we're having baptisms, you're going to get baptized. You know, that would be that would be a major next step. But so how do you go about formulating these next steps so that you can size them appropriately so people can take the next step without being intimidated?
Yeah, no, that's great. Because I think a lot of times in church world, we kind of throw the big, scary thing that's intimidating. And most people nowadays, I feel like not all, but a lot of people are just skeptical about the church. And so you have no idea what their story is, what their background is. Maybe they have some church hurt or baggage or bad experience. And so what we like to do, and I say this to other pastors and leaders, and even as our church, is think about, you have to think of every single person, at least in some kind of bucket. Someone who has no idea, it's their first time coming, to the person that has been in church their entire life. And you have to be intentional, not just throw all kind of events their way and programs and just program yourself to death, but to say, okay, do we offer something that is intentional, that creates a home, a homey feel where that person can step in and not be intimidated? So let's have this Bible study or this event, and try to think of really intentional ways that you can help people, like, just let their guard down and reduce some of that anxiety to say, this is for you. What we always like to say at our church too is anything that you can do to reduce anxiety for someone. And because people, they just don't know. So if you can be clear in your communication and say, hey, I want to personally invite you to this, all of a sudden someone says, oh, it's not so scary. I don't have to go to that next step by myself. So we try to be clear with our language, be clear in the path, be intentional with what those steps are. So it's not, hey, we have, like you said, Baptism Sunday, and everyone in this room is going to get baptized, and then the next Sunday is the lowest attended Sunday ever.
So let me throw out kind of the evolution of my ministry time here, Dustin. And that is, I started doing ministry in the late 70s, and I began to see – I went through everything from worship leader to executive pastor to senior pastor, everything in between. And I began to see that, like, in the early days, if people would come here in Tucson, Arizona, they would come to the church that had the best worship. And so I would see people coming through our door that were coming from other churches.
Yeah.
And they would come because they liked our music. They didn't like me, maybe, but they liked our music. And so so that was kind of fun, but I began to realize, wait a minute, these are people, aren't we supposed to be reaching new people? And then I ran across a guy by the name of Rick Warren, and really liked a lot of his stuff. I liked his systems, and I liked the emphasis on reaching new people and that kind of thing. But so then I kind of went into this mode of, I want to reach new people. And that's what we were doing. So the emphasis was on growth, I guess, with new people. And I was in that for a long time, and systems to make that happen. And then I've run across some people that in ministry that said, you know what, we're not interested in growth. We're just interested in connecting with people and making disciples. And I've kind of begin to move more towards that myself again. Yeah. Maybe I'm just getting kind of wacky here. What's your thoughts on that? Because it seems like churches that are trying to grow, if they're really trying to grow, sometimes it's like they're making a mistake.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, totally. And I totally agree with you in the fact that the pendulum has swung, where it used to be, we have big events, even the tent revivals of, you kind of build it and they will come, and you're not really following up. You don't really know, like, who's who. It could be across town or another church. And so it's, come hear this preacher, he's the next big thing, or the worship is awesome and they got moving lights, and so come check that out, whatever it is. And I did student ministry for a long time. And so I was even in that realm of, you know, sling some pizza and give a big giveaway and get them all there. And then, so you just kind of went from event to event to event. And now it's like, or then, so after that, it transformed to exactly what you're saying, more of a, what we would say, seeker friendly, and forget all the Christianese and the language and the discipleship. Let's make it really, really seeker friendly. And I do think, like, I think the biblical way is an approach of balance, that you have to have things that are for the non-believer who has never been to church. You got to have those things so it's not intimidating, but you also have to have things that are growing the believer. So that intentionality is huge. I always say, equip the believer, engage the non-believer, and so they can at least pique their curiosity. And it is interesting because I essentially have more of a bent for evangelism. This is part of how God has gifted me. And I've had people in the church say, you're too evangelistic. and I don't know what to do with that, to be honest. And so it's like, okay, well, I like reaching people, but maybe it is at a cost. So I think you have to find a happy medium, and you have to be able to say, we are to go and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. So there's a go piece of evangelism and reaching, and there's a making disciples piece of, okay, you get them in the door, and now what? You have to be good stewards of that for sure.
You said something that's going to be very quotable here. Your idea is to equip the believer and engage the non-believer or the
unbeliever.
That's unbeliever. Yeah, and so how do you go about engaging the non-believer?
So what I've found is, well, to get them into the door of your church, you have to, I think from a tech side, you guys know this, you got to have a good website. Everyone is checking you out first. That is really kind of curb appeal. Let me check it out. Let me go on socials, kind of see what is this church all about? Let me go online and listen to the pastor. Could I sit under that teaching? Do they have things for kids ministry? And so that needs to be clean. If it looks, I hate to say it because I know it's a church, if it looks churchy and stale or not lively, it looks more of like a DMV page, you know, then I don't know if I want to go to that. I don't know. So that is huge. If you do that well, it engages the believer, then, or the unbeliever, and then they come in. And I would say a church service is really the front porch of your house, of your church. They're there. They've come up to the door. They're knocking, and they're interested to see what's inside. And like I said, you can have a great church service. And I think a lot of times we put all of our eggs in that basket, and I'm all about it. I think it should be great. I don't think you need to be engaging as a preacher, a pastor. You need to be relational. It needs to run smooth and be distraction free. But then the follow-up of that is, how do we make people feel when they are at our church? And is it just an event that you need to attend, or we're the real deal? The pastor's real. I relate to him, and I understand. Like, he doesn't look polished and like he has it all together. He's the hero of every story, but he's relational and transparent. That lets the unbeliever say, "Oh, this is a safe place where I can bring all my mess." And so that is, to me, for churches, that is the opening the door of that front porch of that house and saying, hey, we're so glad you're here. Why don't you come inside, have a seat at the dining room table. Welcome to the family. It's messy. We're going to have some hard conversations, but that's it. And I think along the way in the engagement is you need to provide, not all topical, but I think very biblical, practical sermon series that say, hey, let's talk about what a healthy marriage looks like. Let's talk about what parenting is, what scripture says about your finances and community. And those are incredible steps that if you say, we're going to do a 2-year series in the book of Romans, the unbeliever is disengaged in that. So you just got to be smart and creative in those things, not at the forsaking the gospel, but really to help people lean into that.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
You've mentioned connection and belonging and all that. So, and you mentioned great events and all that. So what's the difference between a great church service and a connected church?
Man, that's so good. So a great church service is, I mean, it's what it sounds like, right? It is, I would say, distraction-free. The preacher is preaching the Bible and pointing it and hopefully bringing out some application and different points to relate to your life. You have worship that hopefully is engaging people in the sense of come before God and just, man, have that moment or those moments where they are worshiping. To me, a connected church is kind of the holistic approach that it's not just come and see, but it is we care about you beyond just a service and an event. It is, we want you to get plugged into serving because we believe that we were made to serve and you have gifts at this place. We want you to get into deep community, not lecture-based classroom where you're just being preached at again and some depth of that, but you have people that are praying for you and loving on you. And things like when you go to the hospital, there's your small group is there, and different things that really create that authenticity. I think churches are really good about getting people in, and then it's like it just falls off. So the connected church is not just a service. It is a holistic approach of, man, we want you to belong to what God is doing here and moving people from sitting on the sidelines, doing the church world to say, we need you. We want you. You were made for this. Here are the steps. And it takes a lot of personal invitation in that. Like I said, you can't force people to do that. So that's really, in my mind, it's, you know, and I always think about Jesus. You don't see him through the gospel saying, hey, y'all should come Sunday morning to the tabernacle. It's going to be great. We have this, this, and this, and we're doing giveaways, right? I mean, he's in the community talking to people, and the connected church is so personal. It's not just a numbers game. It is, man, we care about people, and I need to spend some time and some intentionality with people.
So you've got one of the challenges, I think, is you've got different people at different places on their spiritual walk, you know, those from the unbeliever to the core. And then you've got people from all kinds of different, you know, backgrounds. We've got, you know, young people with kids that need to get pulled in, and they may be anywhere on that spiritual spectrum. You've got elderly, you've got, you know, young adults and that sort of thing. How do you put together a system that's going to move people from, you know, get them to their next step, whether independent of or based on they're all over the map, right? They're spiritually all over the map, and what interests them is all over the map. Culturally, they're all over the map. How do you put together something from the church perspective that's going to move people from one step to the next?
Yeah, well, I think one of the problems that a lot of church leaders face is they can get so narrow focused on just one aspect, and they miss the beauty of all generations or all life stages in that. And some churches are really good about, hey, our mission is to reach 18 to 25 year olds. And I'm not bashing that. That's great. Like, but it is interesting. I serve in a multi-generational church, and we have 10 different locations, and every location has a wide variety of people from churched, unchurched, kids, students, young adults, senior adults, all of those things. And I would just say that type of belonging for them to be engaged doesn't happen by chance. It just doesn't happen by accident. You have to really think and develop systems for all people, which is hard. It is. I mean, I wish I could say, you know, we're going to focus on young adults and that is it. But you have to be intentional and take steps. And so every time from the preacher, whoever's communicating, they have to be thinking about the senior adult and who's been in church their whole entire life, to the young adult who is just now stepping into church for their first for the very first time. So yeah, we have classes and programs, but even from the get-go, from your volunteers, they have to represent the church across the board from the way that you present God's word. You can't use language that just an 80-year-old might know, but you have to kind of break it down for the unbeliever too. Instead of saying, you know who Paul is, well, not everyone knows who the Apostle Paul is. So, hey, Paul was a Christian killer, and he was going out and working, you know, for the government to arrest and this, and man, God radically changed his life. You got to break those things down to bring everyone in. And that's back once again to equipping the believer and engaging the non-believer. And then I always say I'm an equal opportunity offender. So when there's passages of scripture that convict and offend all of us, say it. And to say it in a clear way in those things, to point out things about all stages of life and really kind of say, here's your next step. Every single one of us can take a next step.
I want to ask a couple of questions here. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
And Steve's salivating here. Salivating. Is that the right word? Salivating? Salivating.
Hey, he has a question. Great.
I'll make it up. So I want to ask a question about a small church. But before I do that, I want to ask you about, because you're talking 10 campuses, 6,000 people.
Yep.
Do you, and this goes back a number of years from my own experience, we had a church come into the church that Steve and I were at, and Steve's still there. I'm not. But and the church came in, the leadership came in, and we were starting to have multiple campuses. Mm-hmm. And they said, you got to do your campus the same way as your other campuses. It's got to be the same way. Got to be the same program. Got to look the same. Got to feel the same. All that stuff. Is that the way it is with your campuses? Are they all the same?
They're all the same. We have a little bit of a different model where we do live teaching at every campus. So we don't stream. And so we do have, we want people to have the same experience no matter what campus they go to. They're naturally going to have a little bit of a different personality based on the campus teaching pastor there and size and demographic of the town they're in, but we try to keep it consistent. So yeah.
Same sermon, definitely the same topic,
same topic. So same message, same points and passage, but how you deliver it, based on your kind of gifts as a teaching pastor, there's autonomy in that, how you present it.
Okay, because the guy that was with us, he didn't like that idea. So he
he
went, adios, adios amigos. But yes. All right, and my second question here is, so, you know, most of the people probably listening to our podcast or are watching us, they don't pastor a church of 6,000 people.
Right.
They're not a major league church like Steve called them last week. I was teasing Steve about that. But I would think that it would be easier for a church of 70, 80, 100 people, 150 people, be probably easier for them to become more of a connected church, right?
Right. But
how do you become a connected church when you got 6,000 people? I mean, that's got to be really challenging, right?
It is. It is super tough. And we have to remind ourselves all the time of this. And as I'm coaching and consulting other multi-site churches, it's a danger where you get so big, you become really, you have this stigma of the mega church that doesn't care about people. You're just so big. And sure, people can come in and come out, easier in that, you know, than 100 person church. But this is kind of what I would say is my philosophy, whether you're small or big, becoming the connected church is about two important things. One, people, and two, intentionality. So if you care for people well, and you have intentional steps and ways and follow-up, whether you're 100 or 10,000, you are going to care for people well, and you will become the connected church. Because like you said, some of the smallest churches I know, they have the greatest culture of belonging and connectivity, maybe to a negative extent. They know what everything is going on, and they know everyone's business, you know? But it's one of those things that even small churches, they're doing that. But as a big church, it does. It becomes big. It becomes complex. And I love this. People, they don't drift into belonging. They move there intentionally. And someone I met with just for lunch on Monday, he said, this is the best, the largest small church I've ever been a part of. And that was like, that's a huge compliment. So we do things just in our model as a church. We still write handwritten notes to first-time guests, where some might have automated systems of texting or emails. We do that, but a handwritten note goes a long way. And so the principle's the same, people and intentionality.
So how do you shape the leadership to drive in this direction? I mean, because it's got to flow from the top, I would think. What's different at a church that's doing it well versus one that's maybe not doing as good?
Yeah, I think it starts with the core foundation of just having a heart for people. That's why we get into ministry. Oftentimes, you can really be overwhelmed from meeting to meeting and system to system and figure this out. And I would say live paycheck to paycheck. But what I mean is Sunday to Sunday, event to event. And oftentimes, I meet church members or people who are checking out our church. And this is really what breaks my heart. I will sit across the table at coffee and hear someone say, I attended so-and-so church for X amount of years, and I could never get a meeting with a pastor. Mm-hmm. Or we wanted to get involved in a small group, and there was like this class and this class. There was all this red tape, and it was going to take 6 months to do that. And I get having, if you want to have missions and visions and membership things, I get all that, but it should not be that hard, and people should. It might take 2 weeks at a bigger church, but I should be able to meet people and hear their story at any point in time as a pastor. And so you have to have that heart from the top down. Everyone needs to know you need to be with people. And it really, the first church I worked at, the pastor said, if you're in the church or if you're in the church office more than you are with people, something's wrong. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of my mantra. I need to come into the church, but I need to be with people. I need to be with our people. I need to be in the community. And that has to come from leadership. That has to resonate with all of our hearts.
If I'm a pastor listening to this podcast, how do I know if my church is a belonging church?
Yeah, so this is like the nitty gritty. I would say if you need to have some type of system that is measuring things like, okay, based on your attendance, how many people are attending a group? How many people are serving? That should be a high number. Now, it's hard. It's an uphill battle, like I said. But if you see, hey, we have 1,000 people attending our church and 100 are serving, that 10%, that's not good. You need to kind of figure out ways. How do we empower people to serve? So those are like key metrics in that. If you see that people are attending and on the back end, they're not coming back, those are some other things on the surface level. You have to really monitor and say, how do we change that? Is there something in our language and our system and our follow-up? And those are just some key things. There could be underlying things that take some harder work, but I would say, yeah, measure those things and go from there.
Streamingchurch.tv is our company. So I'm going to ask you a question about streaming. So be careful how you answer it.
Oh yeah.
Do you think churches can still use streaming video to become a connecting and belonging church? Will streaming video? Because I know we talked at the very beginning here about, you know, it was 2020, it was the pandemic, everybody was online and all that stuff. Do you think it's still a valuable tool to help people get connected?
For sure. Like I said, I mean, it is really the curb appeal where everyone is checking your church out. They're going to watch a live stream or download a podcast or whatever it is. That's what they're going to do. And I would also say on the back end, here's the beauty of streaming. We have people that, okay, you go on vacation, watch it online. Be able to communicate different things through announcements. And so I think it's an incredible tool. I think there's lots of great resource technology-wise. I really think you see a lot of churches honing in on doing their own podcasts that are breaking down Sunday morning's message in a more practical and tangible site. So there's beauty in that as well. So it's not just listen to the sermon and listen to some worship songs. Let's talk about this personally, and let's get some guests in here from the community. So it's a great tool. I love what you guys are doing. I love churches that lean into that. It's where we are as a culture. So we need to be using it for sure.
Yeah. I'll do some self-glossing here as well. At streamingchurch.tv, we do have tools on the back end that people can use to do all of that stuff, from sermon clips to and we even have a product called dailydive365.com, which actually takes a message and creates devotionals 7 days a week, I guess, right, yeah. Steve? And so there's lots of tools out there, and we're not the only ones, obviously. There's other, we have some good friends that are in other companies that are doing it as well. But there is some great tools out there that people can use to help connect with streaming video. Okay, we're just about out of time here. Steve, any last minute questions for our guest today?
Nope. Thanks for being here. It's been interesting.
Fun. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been fun. And so give us the website, Dustin Dozier. That's your name. How can people get a hold of you? How can people find your book?
Right?
Those kind of things. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's the book right here, The Connected Church.
Connected Church. Okay.
Man, it's been out for a month. It's been so cool just to see what God's doing with it. Here's really my heart. My heart is to come alongside pastors and churches, whether you're a small church, multi-site, and just to help you become more connected. So you can go to theconnectedchurch.com. There's some resources on there. You can reach out. I would love to have a conversation and help your church, help you as you lead in any way possible. Just all that. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Dustin Dozier, really easy. But I appreciate the time and man, I just want to see churches become really where a place where people don't attend. They connect, they grow, and they stay. So however I can help your church and your audience, man, I would love to serve them.
Well, that's awesome. All right. Dustin Dozier has been our guest today on the Church Solutions Podcast. If you missed all that, you can always reach out to us here at streamingchurch.tv. That's us. That's our company. And we'll point you to Dustin and help you in any way we can with anything for that matter. Yeah. We're the same mindset. We want to help churches, not just with streaming video, but with other tools as well. Be sure and subscribe to the Church Solutions Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Never miss an episode and give us a rating. So, Dustin, again, thank you. Stay on the line here with us for a moment or so. And, folks, again, thank you for being a part of the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.